Our reading from John chapter 13 is found in the inside of the order of service. A new commandment. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Amen. The upper room where this discussion is taking place. The discussion from 13 to 16, chapter 16, and then chapter 17 is Jesus' great prayer, and then chapter 18, Jesus takes his disciples out of the upper room. They cross downhill, out the gate, down into the valley and up the other side to Gethsemane. But he says in chapter 16, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come." So this is really Jesus' farewell address to his disciples in the state that he is in as man. It's a long discussion. It's a long discourse. And he says, "I've still got so many things to tell you yet, but you're not able to bear them." He's going to Gethsemane. He's going to his trial. He's going to be flogged. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried. And the upper room there is this pivot in not only his life, not only the disciples' life, but in the course of history itself. And his resurrection, he's going to change his disciples. He's going to change Israel. And at his resurrection, he's going to change the world forever. It all happens from the upper room. But Jesus gives a command to his disciples here. And he says, "You're to love one another as I have loved you." And this is a command. It's like if we go to the doctor with a problem and he says, "I'll give you antibiotics, take three a day for a week and you'll be okay." And you take the three a day because you have faith and trust in the doctor, and at the end of the week you're okay. If you don't take your tablets, then it's up to you. And Jesus is the same. He's saying to his disciples, it's a command, it's an imperative. Love one another as I have loved you. And this love isn't a lovey-dovey, huggy-huggy love. This is a love that works, that acts on behalf of people, irrespective of their colour, race, religion, creed. This is a love that can only come through us from God. It's not something that we're expected to manufacture ourselves. See, if God loves us, it says, while we were still in our sin, Jesus died for us. God loves us. And when we realize how much God loves us, then we love Him back. And as we love Him back, we get the capacity to love others as Jesus loved us. But we don't have that love without loving the Father first. We don't have that love in us capable of loving the way Jesus loved unless we've been in touch with God and understand what His love is. In Matthew 22, it says a lawyer came to Jesus to trap Him, to question Him and to trap Him, test Him. Verse 36 in Matthew 22 says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Deuteronomy 6:5. Then He said, "This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Leviticus 19:18. And Jesus went on to explain to him, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." But Jesus isn't asking us to love people through the law and through the prophets. He's asking us to love as He loved, to love one another. How did He love us? Well, He loved us selflessly. No thought for Himself. He just loved us because He loves us. And sometimes we can love people for wrong motives. We can offer people a love because we might get something back from them. We might get their companionship. We might get material or financial things from them. We might even get the accolade of others by loving people. But that's not how Jesus loved us. It was selflessly. Jesus said earlier in John chapter 2, He said, "But Jesus did not commit Himself to them because He knew men, and indeed, not that any should testify of Him, for He knew what was in man." See, God looks in the heart and He knows exactly who we are, what we are, and He didn't commit Himself to us because of who we are. It's just because He loves us in spite of who we are. There's no hole that you've dug for your own lives that's deep enough to go beyond God's love for you. You're not in any pit this lunchtime that's beyond God's love for you. Isn't that good news? Selflessly. Secondly, He loved us sacrificially. Didn't want anything from us. We've nothing that we could give Him other than our hearts. But His desire was to go where He was directed. There was no demand too much in Him. He wanted to take His disciples aside to go into the wilderness to rest. And the people followed Him. He didn't complain. He just ministered to them where they were. Only thing that inhibited Jesus from really helping people was either their faith or their lack of faith. Through their faith, Jesus performed any miracle that was necessary to set them free. Went to His own hometown and could only heal a few sick folk because of their lack of faith. There wasn't a man, there wasn't a woman, there wasn't a child that was beyond the love of Jesus. And sacrifice doesn't always make us happy. Last month, my youngest son is in Edinburgh. He's got two young girls, a three-year-old and a nine-month-old now. Weekend, the mother had to go and see family in France. She's French, so their mother had to go to France. And my son is practically frantic, wanting us down to help him look after these two young girls. So we went down there, helped them that weekend. 10 days later, there's a frantic call. He had to come up to Aberdeen for 2 days' work. His wife has the flu. The two young girls have the flu. Anna's just recovering from a bad cough. We need you. Help us. We had to change. Several things in our own agenda. I had to do a day's work for Anne. We had appointments that we had to change. We went to the station. And Anne isn't too happy about going. She's just recovered from this coughing bout and this bit of flu that she's had herself. And she's going to be living in it. However, sacrifice is sacrifice. She went. The next day, the older of the two, the three-year-old, after prayer, is better. And back at our nursery school. The following day, the then 8-month-old is better. 3 days later, the mother's better. And my wife is home, and I'm sampling her cooking again. How good is God? But sacrifice, we've all got to make sacrifices, even though it means we have to change our plans and our own agendas, because God wants us there. What have you had to change? What have you had to sacrifice? Everyone here has made sacrifices of some kind or another, and that's expected of us. So it was selflessly, sacrificially, understandingly. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our motives. He knows what's going on in our heads, our hearts, our bodies. He knows us really well. And we can come to church on a Tuesday lunchtime, or we can come on a Sunday and we can put on this front. We can put on this face that says, all is well, things are going swimmingly. And inside, you know, fine, the hurts, the pains, the desires. But Jesus knows them. And he knows them really well. They say that love is blind. But blind love will lead to disappointment. And it will also lead us to that place where we're disillusioned. But true love, the love that Jesus is asking us to live by, is that kind of love that accepts each and every one of us where we're at. I remember being in a men's fellowship, and we're at a hotel in Dundee, about 200 of us in this big hotel, and we're being taught by this man from an Aberdonian who's living down in Paynton. And he's speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he comes out with this one in front of 200 men. There was a man traveling here in the train today, and there was a girl sitting in front of him, and he was lusting after her. Well, 199 men ducked underneath the seats. What's coming next? And this honest man put up his hand and was prayed for. But God knows us all. He knows what's going on in our hearts. He understands us. The heart of Jesus accepts us, warts and all. So he loves us selflessly. He loves us sacrificially. He loves us understandingly. and he loves us forgivingly. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he gets this kiss of betrayal from Judas. The disciples, apart from John, there's no one else mentioned at the cross. Where are they? And then Peter, the one who would give his life for him, has denied him 3 times outside Caiaphas' palace. He forgives them. Where have we let him down? Where in our lives have we let the Lord down? Don't take guilt. We just repent, say sorry, and ask to be forgiven. And it's clear, we don't go on probation. Love that cannot forgive will shrivel up and die. And we can't love and hold bitterness or resentment. But Jesus doesn't want us. He wants us to be free from bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. And he can make you, each and every one, free this lunchtime. But just as he was walking in Galilee, it was only by faith that he could enter in and touch people's lives. And it's by faith, by putting that trust in him at this moment in time, that you can experience that forgiveness, that cleansing inside, that it's indescribable unless you've experienced it. I've a video clip. What is this love? I have a video clip I want to show. I hope everything goes okay. I've never used this before.